And so we have the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And remember when the Lord Jesus came to the earth, how obedient he was to the Father, even though he was God manifest in the flesh. And he was led by the Spirit. So absolute harmony in the Godhead. Now you see this little emblem here in our figure, the Father with a hammer. Looks kind of crude, kind of rough, doesn't it? Well, then here's Mother holding the chisel, and Papa is really driving the chisel on this here, which is a diamond. Because in Malachi 3, children are likened unto jewels. At least it's a picture of them being jewels. You are precious. You're like a diamond in your family. And as far as they're concerned, you are their precious diamond. But you know, all diamonds are not perfect. They have to be cut in order to bring out the beauty and the best in a diamond. So it's a beautiful picture, I believe, here. And so God has given the authority to Daddy, and Mommy has to bear a lot of it here in Spanish World, as I brought it last evening, because fathers are away so much. And so Mommy has a tremendous responsibility here in this land, and how they do it really is a miracle. It's wonderful how much is accomplished, and yet it must be very, very difficult. Always remember, the Father is in the place of authority, but it's also in the place of responsibility. He is to bear responsibility if the children are failing. Mind you, I want you to bear in mind, in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20, the Father shall bear the responsibility for his own sin, and the Son shall bear responsibility for his sin. Father's not going to pay for your sin, and you're not going to pay for your daddy's sin. Every individual is responsible for their own sin. You check it out in Ezekiel 18. Practically, the whole chapter is given over to that. But always remember that in the home, the Father is responsible. He is responsible. It comes back to him because God holds him responsible. When Eve sinned first, who did God blame? Who? Adam. He put the responsibility, even though Adam sinned afterwards, but because Eve sinned first, he didn't put the blame on Eve. Although she paid a high price, it was the man. And that's what a lot of wives need to understand too, because decisions that are made in life, the Father bears the responsibility of this. And that's another subject in itself. I wish I had time to go into that, but that would be a subject well worth taking up. But keep in mind, children, when you are corrected, it's because they want to bring the best out of you. Sometimes as parents, we don't chisel too good. We chisel too hard, too abusive, too crude. We don't always do it the right way. We want to, but we don't always do it. But we still love you in spite of it. We may make mistakes. We may say it wrong, but we love you. And that is the reason why we correct you. Now, it's very important to understand discipline is very, very important for your child. If a daddy, you're never disciplined, it either means that you're almost a perfect child, you're a good child, you don't need correcting, and that's rare. But on the other hand, your father and your mother loves you, and they know that correction is important. So that's the reason why they have to. If they don't correct you, something's wrong. And if you just let you do what you like, and as I brought up the other evening, what we did in our time when we were children, we're no different, except you have a lot more today against you. You just think of the television alone that you have that I didn't have as a boy. And what's piped into your bedroom? Some homes have three televisions, and some of the kids are watching television things in their room. The parents are not aware. And it's more convenient now to cable, isn't it? Because you could turn one channel, daddy in the living room, turn to another channel. And so it's even harder to control television now. You've got a lot of things that are coming through on television that is really harmful and bad. Let's face it. And talk shows, I listen to a couple of them sometimes, but they really make me sick to my stomach. I'm going to be very honest with you. Because some of the philosophies, some of the things that brought out even many of the so-called what look like good talk shows is nothing spiritual come out. Very seldom any biblical instruction come out of it and given to anybody. In fact, what seems to come through a lot of times, do your own thing as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else, but it does affect everybody. And children are exposed to a lot today. You're exposed also to the vices of drugs. You got people who are out ready to destroy you. And so we can say a lot about that But we must move on. Remember now, God's command is what? The Father, and then the Mother, and of course, they have to correct the chiseling, so that you might be brought in a very good image, something like that of the Lord Jesus Christ. They want you to grow up and regard the things of the Lord, and be like the Lord Jesus, and you become a believer, of course. All right, Roddy. I wish you could spend more time on this, but we can't. We're going over this graph again just to pick out some of the responses, what we call wrong responses. And here I can't give you, you don't need have to use a book, because I'm only going to pick out a certain amount. You don't have to block it all out. For instance, one parent's response is a very common one. We justify ourselves many times, when we have found or discovered a communication breakdown with our children, and we don't want to assume responsibility. But there are basic reasons why many times we lose our kids. They're not talking to us anymore. As parents, many times we cause that. And I realize that not necessarily it is the responsibility of the father and the mother. Many times a child may go out with the gang, and you know, you live in an island in a society now where peer pressure, where they're with the gang, you're with the gang, and they might say, try this, man, it is good. Or to you as a young girl, try it. Man, it's really good. Or you might have peer pressure this way. Mommy, why is it I can't stay out at midnight? Because so-and-so lets their children stay out at midnight. And therefore you feel, that you should have that privilege as well. You should do that. And that can be very bad. Nowadays, it's a different story. Mommy and Daddy don't want you to be out at certain hours because they know the dangers that are out there. And today, in our society, Mommy and Daddy want to protect you. They want to shield. They want to keep you. They don't want you to fall into the snares and pitfalls of those vices. And so it's extremely important. And so then later on when you really give in and you're not talking to Mommy and Daddy, one of the things drugs does, by the way, you lose your sensitivity or compassion. You lose your love for your parents. Maybe deep down under you do, but you just don't care anymore. After a while, your brain, just something happens and you just don't care, you know? They can say what they like. They can do what they like. You just don't care. Awful thing, though, to have a communication breakdown. Parent, be careful how you handle your children. Keep a line open as much as you can, as long as you can. I have to labor in that point because many, many times we want to shelve the problem or get rid of the problem. We want to deal with that problem and get it out of our way and feel justified in ourselves. You see, that's not always the answer. But we want to really show our children that we care, we love. You have to instruct. You have to get in the Word of God. You have to spend time in prayer with them. But always keep a line of communication. Even if they go away from you, try to get on the telephone. Try always to keep that line of communication open. That is important. And I'm sure glad that the Lord has a line of communication open with us. Suppose He broke that line off with us, we'd really be in a fix, wouldn't we? All right, very important. What are the conflicts? Is that sign, visible signs in a teenager? He ain't talking, and he doesn't want to talk to his parents anymore. Wounded spirit. Wounded spirit, maybe you, as a parent, you might have promised your boy, it looked like something childish or simple, listen. It is very dangerous. We've known cases. You make a promise to your child. You listen. If you say tomorrow I'm going to take you fishing, but something comes up and a boss calls you and he says, look, I want you to do this. Like one man did, the boy had everything packed. He had his gear, his fishing gear, and his daddy picked up the phone. He said, yes, I can do it. I'll be right down. He didn't even turn to his little son and say, well, son, I can't make it today. I've got to go to the office and so. I'm going to tell you something. As a result of that, that little boy's wounded spirit, he never forgot that. He never forgot that. And it wounded him. It hurt him. Dad, Mom, if you make a promise, if you can't keep it that way, at least try to keep it in another way. Or never promise at all. If you give the slightest suggestion to your child, well, maybe. That child automatically has a little light that goes up, green light, says, oh, Daddy's going to take me fishing. You can't even say maybe. Because maybe is not the right answer. You know, you have to be very careful how you answer. Don't wound their spirit. My, there are many ways of wounding the spirit of a child. Parent not taking blame. Not when they know they're wrong. Saying sorry to their children. And we have Hebrews 12:15, a root of bitterness springing up. And we compare in the old days when we were boys. When I was a boy. That's bad. When you were a boy, you were no different. And that may have been a percentage. But when you were a boy, you were a boy. Like the boys of today. We were no different. And we were just boys, and we needed the Lord. Thank God I received Christ when I was 15 years of age. But before that, I was a boy. They made me fight two black boys, colored boys, almost every week, sometimes two, three times a week. And I mean fight until blood. Will that shock you? You see, I was a boy. I didn't want to fight, but the older people, the grown up, made us fight. And the only way I could get out of the fight, one of them had a little mole up here, and he always heard if his mole started to bleed, he would die. He would bleed to death, so I'd go for the mole. I'd hit the mole, and he would bleed, and he'd be finished. But the other one was tough, the younger of the boy brothers, but he used to beat me sometimes to a pulp. But we were boys! I'm not proud of a lot of those things as a boy, but we were boys. We were cruel, too, in many instances. And so, we have to understand children. Don't compare about when I was a boy. And then we've got a visible sign of a child being thankless. We got him being stubborn. Why? Because we're given to nagging. Every time we just nag, 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 nag. And this is true sometimes of a wife, of her husband. Nagging with her husband all of the time. Even though that's not the subject tonight. Marital problems, but you know, here's a woman who cooks a nice, juicy steak, a beautiful, lovely supper, and she's been laboring over the stove all afternoon. When he comes home, when he sits at the table, she starts in. In fact, don't even tell him nothing about the washing machine is broke. Don't tell him nothing like that. Don't tell him about the problems you had with the children, okay? Don't do that. And, that's another subject in itself, but I could really rip into that one. Man, if he's tired, he's had problems all day long at the job. And so he doesn't want you to come home and have all kinds of problems poured out at him out of all places over that nice juicy steak that you cooked for him. You think he enjoys his meal? No, he doesn't enjoy it at all. Wait till he finishes. When he sits back, when he gets a nice big burp, then let him have it. Then you're going to let unload. He doesn't mind it. He feels good. Lays off on the armchair and says, honey, I got a few things to tell you. You know, some wives just don't know how to really handle these situations. So, but don't nag your husband. Because if he goes out with a boy, why should he stay home and hear you nag, 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 nag? He's going to go out. Mind you, I'm not talking about constructive criticism. Stubbornness is another visible sign of a child. Rebellion, is a sin of witchcraft. Because you're too restricted. Just as bad as not being strict at all. So what happens? You find that parents giving in to being the FBI to go out and spy on children. And here again, it's because they have a care and concern. They may not be do it the right way simply because they found that you had betrayed their trust. Why mommy and daddy goes out and looks for you night? It's because you lied to them a few times. They caught you in a few lies. Boys and girls, let me tell you something. This is very, very important. The Bible says all men are liars, right? But let me tell you, never, with the help of the Lord, never tell your parent a lie if you could help it. Go with God's grace and help. You want to maintain that trust. You want mommy and daddy to always believe in you. You see? Tell them the truth. And it's going to hurt you sometimes. But you tell them the truth anyhow. Very, very important. When the daddy find out in the olden days when the outhouse was pulled down. You know what outhouse is? Outhouse with the old outside toilet. You children don't know nothing about that. Thank God for that. But what, you know what one of the boys did? He pulled it down in the river. He said, right, put a rope around it and he pulled it over in the river. And his daddy got the three boys together and said, now tell the truth. Which one of you did it? We're scared. He said, remember George Washington when he cut the cherry tree down? George Washington, who became the president of America later, he said, he cut that tree down. When his daddy asked who cut it, he said, "Father, I cannot tell a lie. I cut the tree down." So one of the boys stepped up and he said, "Daddy," he said, "I pulled the outhouse down in the river." And he beat the daylights out of me. He said, "Daddy, that's not fair." He said, "George Washington cut the tree down," he said, "and his daddy didn't beat him." So the father says, "Yes, but George Washington's father was not up in a tree." Some of you will get that next week. All right? But tell the truth, okay? Always tell the truth. And when they build up confidence in you, your parents will give you privileges, but if they find they cannot confide in you because you let them down. And what usually happens when our kids really go and really get away from the Lord and get away from all the teaching and training that mom and dad gave them? You know the verse we use a lot, and we really should understand that. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. You say, but I know a lot of people go to Sunday school, loved by their parents, they get the best of training, and yet they go astray. What happened? Is the Word of God true or not? Now, what I believe is the training they got, even though they get away from the training, but the training never, never gets away from them. They always remember it. And in most cases, they come back to the training. Very important. But train up a child. Don't push the panic button, mom, dad. That's what we usually do when we can't handle the situation any longer. Always remember, the Lord is the one that we should always be in touch with. He can help us in our problem, and we don't have to be defensive, putting up a barrier of self-defense and panicking and even crying hysterically, "Where did I go wrong?" You know, a lot of you did not go wrong. You did what was right, but we got a devil out there, and we got people who are out to destroy your children. And it's just that we need to really bring them before the Lord, and we need to have more activities with our kids than we used to, because you can't let them have the activities with the gang all of the time. Special occasion, you take family units for your fireworks. Take the family, get in the car, drive down to Luther. Get them in, I know you do this in the boat. Some of you all got real family values here. You take your kids off in the boat. Do things together with your children. And if they have enough and good, healthy activity with you as a parent, they're not going to want to be out 11, 12 o'clock in the night having activity with the wrong gang or with the wrong people. Create activity with them, all right? And you'll be surprised how much that'll help. And they will appreciate that. We're living in an age now where we need to do even more of that than we ever did in our life. So, Mama, watch it that you don't push the panic button and become hysterical, okay, and frantic. And these are responses, mind you. Even a teenager gets depressed. And what happens to him is his rejection sets himself up as an authority. He's going to do his own thing. He brags to the gang because he wants attention. And maybe he didn't get enough attention in the home, or maybe he doesn't realize that the way God made him, and made him just as he was, because God is not finished with him yet, or with her yet. That's another subject in itself. Self-acceptance. Oh my, how precious or how valuable that is. And I don't have time to go into that. Okay, so he explores. You know why? He thinks he's his own man now. He can do his own thing. And so he explores. He's going to investigate or do certain things to fulfill his own desires. And then later on, guilt comes in. You know why? Because he knows the Word of God. And maybe somewhere along the line, he even trusted the Lord Jesus as his Savior. And he becomes very guilty. And then, listen, suicidal tendency. And it doesn't have to be physical suicide. You can't see that. That's why I had to rewrite this the way I did. But mental suicide, that is, he cuts off all instruction. All advice. He doesn't listen to anybody anymore. And he has no sense of direction, no sense of purpose. So he has committed what we call mental suicide. When you get in that state, boys and girls, it's very, very bad. Moral suicide. Remember, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And don't believe this foolish, stupid philosophy coming over in television about safe sex. No such thing. And don't let them tell you that through the boob tube. It is dangerous because, listen to me, you've got 52 sexual related diseases existing today. Long will repeat that. 52. You say, Frank, they're kind of young. Young my eye. You should watch what they watch on television. They know more than you at sometimes as parents. They read it in the textbook in school. That's the whole problem now. We don't want to teach our children some of those values in life, some of those things that really are there. God help us. God help me too, because we need more instruction in our schools as well, or in our home, to as a matter of defense, as a matter of protecting them. Moral consequences are very, very high, children. You can't afford. Don't listen to the gang. The street talk, the gang talk is just a half a truth. You should get healthy books and have mommy and daddy read to you and teach you more perfectly the way of life. About morality, very, very important to prepare you. And always remember, girls, you're the one that's always going to end up with the worst deal. I'm going to repeat that. Girls, you are the one that's going to end up with the worst deal. And even people come down harder on girls than they do on the boys. Be very, very careful out there. Preserve your life. Preserve your body. It's sacred. You don't want to end up in this category, I tell you. And then, of course, spiritual suicide, where you lose all insight. And you can't even pray anymore. You can't even think properly. You can't even read your Bible anymore. You have no desire to read your Bible. You have no desire to pray because of all of these things that you allow come into your life. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Oh, yes. And, of course, in many parts of the world, even in Nassau, physical suicide. Young people are killing themselves. Can you imagine? Are destroying themselves. I've read some sad cases not long ago. Oh, I wish I could spend more time in this, but we have already, and I'm so glad the young people are here tonight. Let's see what their next graph is. Those will have time to. Well, this is almost on the same line. Defending self, that's the wrong response. And young people, you might always want to defend yourself, and, you know, and when your mama asks you certain things, don't do that. And blaming others, other party, that's a common response. We always want to blame so-and-so or blame the next person, you see? And holding in anger against your parents because of correction. Very, very bad. This anger leads to bitterness, and then later on, of course, when you're not speaking to them because of these things. If you know you did it, own up, confess it, especially to the Lord if you're a Christian, because he said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I'm not going to take up this because that's another subject. You could thank God for the source of irritation, but sometimes it's very difficult. But that's another thing. Find out, parents, the possible causes of all of these things. Try to identify. Try to look for it and work from there, you see? And then, of course, you have an objective that you work toward. You don't want to think that that's the final thing. When you find out that your children are not listening anymore, or you believe that they are involved in something that you're unhappy about, there's a way of handling it. Oh, and above all, love the child. Love the child. Yeah, I'm going to tell you one thing. Give me another four minutes. I'm going to ask Brother Roddy to put his finger up when he got 1 minute to go. Okay, give me four more minutes. You know this passage, don't you? We don't have time. We may do it again in Bible class. I don't know. But the Lord Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that are humble. Blessed are those who are humble before him. For the word tells us that they shall indeed inherit the kingdom of God. Blessed are the meek. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is just yielding sometimes our rights. Those who yield all possessions and personal rights to God and thereafter look upon what they have as loaned to them by God for his work in glory. And so what happens, of course, the wrong attitude develops pride. Opposite the poor in spirit, humility, is pride. God hates pride. And we've already touched on that, did we not? Meek means just yielding our right to Him, being gracious and kind. And if you don't, anger and greed sets in. Oh, what a subject in this, anger and greed. And that's why you can't even beat your children out of anger, because all you're doing is satisfying yourself. You're doing it for your satisfaction, you see? And always try to be cooled off, read the word to them, and then if you have to correct them by a spanking, then do it if you can. You have other ways of correcting children. Blessed are the meek. Opposite of that, remember, anger and greed. Blessed are the merciful, those who fully forgive all who injure or offend them, and return love and understanding. You'd be surprised. You won't have bitterness and resentment developing in your heart. Very, very important. Pure in heart, blessed are the pure in heart, those whose motives and desires are under the control of the Spirit of God. Very important. Pure in heart. Moral impurity is the opposite. That's what would happen. Opposite of being pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. You know, we don't have too many peacemakers around today. We got enough strife makers. We got enough who add fuel to the fire. When you hear that something happened, do you say, oh my? You should, as a Christian. But if you say, nothing else would I expected that, something's wrong with you. You need a change of heart. You need to get before the Lord in this. Blessed are the peacemakers. And mourn when you know that something has developed in somebody else's life or happened. When a crisis comes, weep. We're members of the body of Christ. I can't say to this hand, I don't really need you. I need this hand. I was looking at Mr. Herschel the other day and he's sitting there. So it took him a long time to realize that his foot wasn't there any longer. You see? And so it is with us. And a member is hurting. All of us hurt. Oh, if we could only see this. Boy, I want to say this would be a much more, let's say, better island. It may not be good English, but you know what I'm talking about. Eh? You know where I'm coming from. It would be a lot better place to live. Oh, let's weep with them that weep, and let's laugh with them that laugh. That's scripture, brother. That's scripture. Need more peacemakers, not condemnation of others. Okay, let's get this, and I'll wrap it up. I think we've got 2 minutes left. Right? 2 minutes left. Blessed are they that mourn? Huh? No. I said I'd take 4 minutes more. I don't want to stick to that. I got 2 minutes more. 1.5 now. Yeah. Those who allow God to break their heart with the things that break His heart and thereby gain His goals for their life. When we mourn because of our sin, our own sin, then God will bless us. You see? There'd be no lack of purpose then. And we'd be serious. There's no lack of seriousness about the things of the Lord. And we certainly will be more effective in prayer, not ineffective in our prayer life. Because we mourn when we know that we have done wrong. Children, when we have done wrong. That's what it means to blessed are the mourn. Not only because somebody dies, but you're mourning because of your own inability or your own sin. Our sin. That's what it means to mourn, okay? And then when you're persecuted because you love the Lord, that is the best thing that could happen to you. I tell you, if you get persecuted for the sake of Christ, the name of the Lord Jesus, you're going to be blessed. Don't be afraid of witnessing, okay? And what, by all means, don't compromise your standards. Don't lower your standards. Not for anybody. Don't ever, ever lower them. God will bless you. And He will enrich your life. I know we didn't, we rushed through that tonight. And I just hope that you just see the little graph, at least the scale that God is showing us in Matthew chapter 5. I want you to read that tomorrow as your scriptural devotion. Will you do that? Matthew 5. How many are going to try and read Matthew 5 tomorrow? Or if you rather read it nighttime, tonight before you go to bed. Let me see your hand. Promise yourself now, okay? Don't promise me. You're going to read Matthew chapter 5, okay? Make a note of it and read it. It will really stir your heart. Okay, shall we bow for prayer? Father, we thank You for Your precious word. We thank You for For the Lord Jesus revealed to us, and as we even had mentioned in the beginning of the service, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. As parents, Father, we confess we have lacked in wisdom. We haven't always said it right and done it right. Forgive us for this. And give us more strength and more wisdom to know how to deal with our children. And then help the children, in spite of what they're faced with and the different temptations and things that would offset them and the problems that they're faced with, help them to make the right decisions that will please the Lord and the decisions that will honor their parents and their mothers in the days that are to come. Bless our coming together tonight. Thank you again for your precious word. For we pray it in Jesus' name.